You can take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah chapter 12. For a couple of weeks we looked at human wisdom, and then the last time we looked at God's wisdom. We looked at three aspects of God's wisdom. The first one was to make God the basis for every decision of life. We need to realize that God is always at work. And if we make decisions based purely upon human reasoning, we're going to miss out on the fact that God is at work in every situation. And we need to understand that. Secondly, we need to always keep yourself tender towards reproof. It's so important for us to always keep that door open. In Jeremiah, we find the people had hardened their necks. And in Proverbs, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Thirdly, we found to depend on the Lord in every situation in life, even when it doesn't look like it's going to work out. And then fourthly, in Jeremiah chapter 12, I'd like to read verses 14 through 17. We're going to see to always, and this is really a simple one, but it's not one that we always choose, but always choose the path of obedience. Always choose the path of obedience. Jeremiah 12, verse 14. It says, "Thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass, after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord." We know in another passage, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." So here we find the blessing upon those people in the land that would choose to obey the God of heaven. God was going to bless them. God was going to prosper them. Instead of living according to their own customs, they would have to choose to live according to the way of the Lord. You know, so much for going to a missionary land and, you know, adopting whatever customs that you come in contact with. Now, obviously, there are certain customs that are just, you know, maybe types of food that are eaten or things like that, unless it's something wrong. But there are certain customs, particularly in the area of music, that need to be found out, you know, is this something that's a heathen practice, or is this something that came from the worship of God? And so there's a blessing upon those that would obey God, that would learn His ways. Notice Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. It says, "And say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, Obey my voice and do them. According to all which I command you, so shall ye be my people, and I will be your God." So again, he tells them, obey my voice. You know, the outcome of the book of Jeremiah, the people didn't obey God. They chose their own pathway. They chose to live by a pragmatic philosophy. You know, and they said, you know, when we were worshiping these false gods, you know, things seemed to be going okay. And instead of choosing the pathway of obedience, they chose a pragmatic philosophy of, well, this seemed to be working when we were worshiping these false gods, things seemed to be okay. When in actuality, God was being long-suffering to them. And then God's judgment came upon them. Always choose the path of obedience. Verse 7. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. So there is a good type of protesting. But this protesting is trying to get the people to obey God. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. You know, every command that God gives is a good command. Every command that God gives is going to happen according to God's way. You know, many times we think we can live life and things are going to turn out. But when God says to do something a certain way, there's a reason. God has what is best in mind for us. And so we always need to choose the pathway of obedience. You know, the children of Israel went their own pathway. They did things their own way. They refused to hear God's words. And they reaped the consequences of it. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 13. It says, and the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. So here God was going to feed them with something distasteful. You know, something wormwood in the Bible, my Bible here has bitter. You know, something bitter. You know, our lives will turn bitter when we choose to disobey God. You know, you think of a young person. You know, that's why it's important to discipline your children. Because they need to understand that the pathway of disobedience is a bitter pathway. It's not a good pathway to be on. But when you allow your children to disobey, to go their own direction, you're teaching them that disobedience isn't that serious of an issue. And ultimately, it's the way that they're going to obey God, and they're going to find out that, you know what, disobeying God brings bitterness. But many times, it happens when it's too late. And so always choose the path of obedience. You know, Psalm chapter 2 paints the picture of the one who delights in the law of God and the tree that they become like a river of water. James chapter 1 talks about not being just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Ephesians chapter 6, children, obeying your parents, honor your father and mother, which is what? The first commandment with promise. Obedience is such a basic foundation to every person's life. It's such an important thing for each one of us to grab a hold of. The next point of wisdom that we find in the book of Jeremiah that I'd like to look at is found in Jeremiah chapter 10. So you should be real close there. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 2. It says, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. We find here to keep yourself pure. Don't get curious about sin. Separate from it. The Lord said, don't learn the way of the heathen. You know, you learn and you follow the way of the heathen, what would it cause you to do? It says, they're dismayed at the signs of heaven. It says verse number 3, for the customs of the people are vain. It's something empty, something worthless. You know, we live in a day and age in which there is so much vanity out there. There is fear that people have that's unfounded. And God says, keep yourself pure. Don't get involved in learning the way of the heathen. Over in Leviticus chapter 18, we find here the natural tendency is to act like those that we are around. And God warns the people in Leviticus chapter 18 not to do after the doings of the people of Egypt and not to do after the doings of the land of Canaan. You know, why did God warn the children of Israel not to walk after the doings of Egypt and not to walk after the doings of Canaan? It says here in Leviticus 18, verse 3, after the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You know, what's the natural tendency? Well, the natural tendency is for us to be like those around us. They were in Egypt for all those years. And God says, don't do after the doings of Egypt. You know, but what do we find? They come in, God gives the Ten Commandments, and what are they doing? Making a golden calf. He says, don't do after the doings of the people in Canaan. You know, we need to look at our own lives and say, are we doing after the doings of those around us, or are we getting our philosophy from God's Word? You know, where do you get your philosophy for raising your children? Is it from the world around you, or is it from the Word of God? Where do you get your philosophy for the different things that you do in your life? Where do you get your philosophy of education from? From the Word of God? Or from the world around you? Where do you get your philosophy on various things? And God says, don't do after the doings of the people around you. Don't learn the ways of the heathen. Jeremiah chapter 4. And verse number 22 says, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, foolish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. So here again, the importance of keeping yourself pure from sin. But there's also a positive aspect of that. And we'll see that in the next point. But here it says, my people is foolish. It says they have what? They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil. You know, what type of wisdom do you have? You know, do you know all about all the movies that are out there? Wise to do evil. You know, what kind of books are you in? Wise to do evil. What kind of TV programs? What kind of music? What kind of games are you involved in? Wise to do evil. And here the children of Israel, they had much wisdom about that which was wrong, but they lacked wisdom about that which was right. And what does God want? Romans chapter 16. God wants a simple concerning that which is evil. But he wants us wise concerning that which is good. Keep yourself pure. Don't get curious about sin. You know, the devil can use that curiosity. Oh, I wonder what's there. You know, just stay away. You know, oh, was that person really wearing that? Well, you don't have to look again to make sure. All right, devil can use curiosity to get us to do that which is wrong. And God says, keep yourself pure. Don't learn the way of the heathen. You don't have to ask questions about certain things. You don't have to know about certain things. Keep yourself pure. But then sixthly, I guess tonight it would be thirdly, but make knowing God the central focus and glory of your life. The very verse we just read, it says, for my people is foolish, they have not known me. Alright, if you don't know God, what are you going to know? Well, if you don't know God, what you know is not going to be what? Something good. And so you need to know God. Over in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. The greatest thing you can know is, the greatest one you can know is the Lord. And there may be much wisdom out there, but it's going to be worthless in comparison to knowing God. Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. You know, if you were on that list of, the 100 richest men in the world, I don't know what the list is exactly, but, if you were on that list, if you were number one on that list, anybody know who number one on that list is? Who cares, right? Okay, but, anyways, it's not anybody here, we know that. Really, if you were number one on that list, I mean, whoever number one is on that list, they might be thinking, boy, great, I've got a lot of money. You don't even have to be number one to glory in your riches. Or, the person that wins the weightlifting contest at the Olympics. And, here's people glorying in their strength. Here's the wise man glorying in his wisdom. Somebody that maybe has come out with inventions or came up with a great way of doing something. But what does God say to glory in verse number 24? But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. There aren't too many awards out there, except for maybe in, some good circles for knowing God. But here God says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That they know how God works. The Lord which exercised loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. For in these things I delight. Do we know God? Do we know the way that He functions? Do we know the way that He operates? Do we know the things that He is pleased with? And is that what we are seeking to do in our lives? Talks about in the New Testament about walking unto all pleasing. Are we seeking to please God? Do we know Him? In order to please God, we need to know what pleases Him. And that is something that we can glory in. It's not something that you're going to be able to parade around the world and that they're going to say, whoa, look at that person. Now, obviously, you probably will have a testimony, and it is going to show, and it is going to shine brightly. But that is something that we need to make a high priority in our list. Make knowing God the central focus and glory of your life. And then let's go to Jeremiah chapter 7, and lastly, divine wisdom. We need to make sure that you know the truth. Make sure that you know the truth. Verse number 3 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, then if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit." You know, we need to know the truth. Here the people may have been trusting the fact that they had the temple. And you know, God's not going to cast off his temple, the place that he dwells. But they were trusting in lying words. And God says, you need to change the way that you're living your life. Otherwise, you're going to go into captivity. You're going to be defeated. You're going to be killed. And we need to make sure that we know the truth. The devil is what? The father of all lies. And do you think the devil wants believers to believe a lie? Well, obviously he does. Do you think the devil wants unbelievers to believe a lie? Obviously he does. You know, if they knew, what does the truth do? The truth, ye shall know the truth, John 8:32, and the truth shall set you free. But most people think the truth's going to what? Bring them bondage. Oh, if I live that kind of life, oh boy, I'm going to be under bondage. But it's the opposite. It frees you. It brings freedom in your life. But that's real wisdom. And God says here, don't trust in lying words. You know, someday the truth will be made known. And every decision we make must be based upon the truth. Otherwise, we are going to trust in something that's going to fall over and crumble right beneath us. You know, it's the truth that's going to stand the test of time. And the good news is we have the truth right here. We need to open it up. We need to read it. We need to find out what it says. And we need to live our lives by it. Whose wisdom are you going to choose to live by this evening? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help us in this dark day and age in which we live. Lord, not to live by our feelings, not to live by the pressures of people around us. Lord, not to live by the pressures of those in the workplace. Lord, not to live by what is socially acceptable. But Lord, that we would live by the truth of your word. Lord, that we would choose the pathway of obedience, even when it looks like it's not going to work out. And Lord, we pray that we would not get curious about sin. Lord, that there would not be young people, Lord, maybe there's even young people tonight that have been experimenting with sin. Lord, that they would realize the danger. Lord, the wasted life, the hurt life that it's going to bring them. And if only they would listen to your word, Lord, that says to not learn the ways of the heathen. Lord, I pray that you would help us to really know you. Lord, to make decisions based upon the things that are pleasing in your sight. You know, I wonder right now with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe the Lord's working in your life right now. You know, young person, maybe maybe adult, anyone. You know, maybe there's been some sin you've been experimenting with. You know, God wants you to keep yourself pure. Maybe there's some books, some TV programs, some music, some games. And, you know, the devil's been getting you curious about the wrong things, and God says, don't learn those things. Or maybe you've just been getting lazy in really knowing God and spending time to make sure that you know Him. Maybe it's something else, and I just challenge you right now to get that decision settled with the Lord so that your life could be one of being built on a firm foundation, on the solid rock. Lord, may You help us to go from here, living life based upon the truths of Your Word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.